All right, we're going to take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let me say it is a joy to be back in the Lord's house. Appreciate all the good singing. It was all a blessing. And it strengthened my soul. I thank Amen. The Lord for it. Appreciate the good day the Lord's given us. I want to say thank you to the church again for letting me come in, your pastor. I appreciate the good motel room, the fruit basket, and the meal today. It's all been a blessing, and we thank the Lord for His blessings through you towards me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and I want to read a few verses with you tonight, and you pray. I've been praying about what the Lord had me to preach, and He laid these verses on my heart, so I'm going to try to be just as faithful as I can to preach the message God's given me. I thought about that passage in John 5, where the Lord asked bunch of religious people this question. Well, he didn't ask him a question, but he made a statement to him. He said, you think that you have eternal life.
Yeah.
And he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
Right.
And I thought about preaching around those verses a little bit maybe tonight, but the Lord led me otherwise. Not that I think we've got a bunch of people in here that are lost, but you know, we live in a world where we need to understand how great the deception is.
Yes, sir.
And I think, like Jesus said, there's a lot of people in our Baptist churches who think they have eternal life.
Yep. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Who don't have it.
Right.
That's what Jesus is saying. You think you have something, but you don't have it.
Right.
And if you were to ask a man, do you have eternal life? And that person's response to you would be something like this. Well, I think I have it. They probably don't. Amen. If that's your answer, I think I have it, that's good evidence that you probably don't have it. People that have it, they say, I know. Amen. There's a big difference between I think and I know. And I appreciate the Lord giving us the assurance of our salvation. It's the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if you're saved, that's true about you. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. So when you get saved, you don't have to have your mother and daddy and your preacher tell you that you're saved. You'll tell them that you're saved. Amen. And there's a lot of people going on the testimony of somebody else. But when God saves you, the Spirit of God gives you a testimony. It's a Holy Ghost testimony. It comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I just thank the Lord for the truth. So you pray that the Lord would ever guide me. But tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, the Bible said here in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we yourselves are comforted of God. Now, I'm going to read a few more verses here in just a moment, but I don't really have titles to my messages. I guess I should come up with titles before I preach these messages I preach. But the thought of my heart is just basically how God works in our life. And, you know, I found in my life, at least through the years, that it really helps me to understand what God actually says about life, how it really is from God's perspective, not how I thought it was going to be. Amen. Because most of the time I struggle with life, and maybe you're like this, but I'm like this. Most of the time when I'm struggling in my life, it's because my thinking is not in line with what the Word of God may say about what's going on in my life. And I'm thinking one way, and God's Word's saying something totally different from my thought process. And when I can understand what God says and then bow to and accept it and just, you know, say, thank God it's this way and God's grace is going to help me regardless, then my life seems to go a little bit better. I don't know about you, but that's me. But anyways, again, notice what the Bible says here, talking about God, how He works in our life. And then the Bible said in verse number 3, how blessed be God. I mean, we ought to be blessing God that He is working in our life.
Right.
Amen. And how He works in our life. We ought to bless God how He works in our life.
Yeah.
And so many times we get caught up with the negative parts of our life instead of thanking God that He's working in the midst of all that we would call negative.
Amen.
All things work together for good to us that know God and called according to His purpose. But anyways, blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy. You thank God for His mercy, I do.
Amen.
And I'm glad He just doesn't have a little bit of it, He's got all of it.
That's right.
All that you need and all that I need. And I don't know about you, but I need a whole lot. Amen. I need all the mercy of God that I can get, and all that I need, He's got it available.
Amen.
And He tells me every day, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That you might obtain mercy.
Right.
You know why we need to come daily to the throne of grace to obtain mercy? Because we need it every day.
That's right.
Amen. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve.
Right.
And you notice when we go through struggles in our life, many times we come short of being what we need to be for God.
Sure.
And if God gave us what we deserve, why, He would just do whatever to us. But I'm glad, hallelujah, for the mercy of God.
Amen.
And with the mercy of God, there comes this wonderful thing called comfort.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's not obligated to comfort us, but He does because He's so merciful.
Amen.
He looks down, He has mercy on us. Why, they're struggling. I need to help them. I'm going to give them a little comfort.
Amen.
Praise God for that. Hallelujah. You ever struggle in your Christian life? You ever struggle being the kind of Christian God wants you to be? God gives us mercy, amen, and comfort. So He's the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, think about that. Think about these terms. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us. What if that's describing your life down the road? You've got it all figured out, how your life's going to go, what you expect your life's going to be. Does it include the sufferings of Christ, plural, abounding in your life, maybe? Is that part of your plan? Is that part of your future? Is that part of your goals? The sufferings of Christ, abounding. Not just a few of them, so many of them, they're just abounding.
Right.
Everywhere I look, suffering. Look up, look down, look this way, that way. All I see is suffering, suffering, suffering of one kind or another.
Yep.
Yes, amen. Blessed be God.
You,
when you go through all that suffering, all those different kinds of suffering, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, family, pressure, whatever kind of suffering God's letting you go through, are you saying, blessed be God. Hallelujah.
Lord,
that's what Paul's doing right here.
Yes,
why can't we do that?
Yes.
Obviously, because we're not the kind of Christian that Paul was yet. Probably never will be. But I'm going to tell you what God wants us to do. God wants us blessing Him. God wants us giving Him praise, giving Him glory, giving Him honor. Even if the sufferings of Christ are abounding in us, it shouldn't change the fact that God is worthy of our praise and our honor and all that we can do to bless His holy name. Amen. You know what that says to the devil? In spite of all that you're doing by suffering to turn me against God, you're not successful.
Yeah.
I'm still blessing His holy name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. What has God done for you lately, preacher? Well, He sure has filled my life with a lot of suffering.
Uh-huh.
You know, we get around one another, we talk about all the good things that are going on.
Yeah.
I don't hear hardly anybody talking about all the suffering they're going through. Come on, this life is full of suffering. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Somebody says, why am I going through all this trouble? Because you're part of the human race, that's why. When you were born into this world, that qualified you for trouble. Praise God, you've got the qualifications for all kinds of trouble coming your way.
Right.
Why? What did I do wrong? You were born.
Yeah.
That's what you did wrong. Amen. You know, I don't understand these. I don't understand why I'm going through all this. I can give you 1,000 reasons why you ought to be going through it, just like I'm going through it. I'm shocked that I don't go through more.
Right.
Amen. I deserve a whole lot more than what God's put on my plate.
Yes, amen.
Praise God. Blessed be God. Can you say blessed be God tonight?
Yes, sir.
Just blessed be God. I like that song. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Yes, to God, what benefits we can't count them all.
Right.
Bless the Lord. And give praise to God for all His benefits.
Amen.
I mean, God's blessed us so much and given us so many benefits. We ought to be able to praise Him for some of them. Amen.
Amen.
See, the idea is don't forget all of them. There's no way you can remember all of them, but you ought to be able to remember some of them, amen, because there's been so many of them in your life. Suffering is a blessing and a benefit, the Word of God said. And you know what you'll do as you get older and wiser and mature as a Christian as you go along? You'll be able to start praising God for the suffering you're complaining about now. When you're younger and you just complain about every time something happens that you think is negative and shouldn't happen, as you get older, you'll see those are not accidents. Those are divine appointments. Amen. God knows what He was doing when He allowed those things to happen to you and happen to me. Amen. And what God wants to do, He wants to bring us along to where we can praise Him. Just like He told Satan about Job. Go ahead, Job. Have at him. Just spare his life. Job said, I'll get him where he'll curse you to your face. God said, I don't think so, but do your best. And you know what Satan did? He took away everything that Job had, earthly speaking, to prop him up. And you know what Job did? He said the Lord gave and the Lord took away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job charged not God foolishly. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we start charging God or start questioning God, how foolish is that?
Yes, sir. Amen.
God, you know what you're doing in my life? I think so. I think so, and I don't think He needs our input.
That's right. Right.
To figure it all out.
Right.
Amen. You know, it's like we gotta help God along. We're gonna help you along, God. This surely can't be right. Oh, it's right, amen.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says, blessed be God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all, God, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. Oh, I want to be used of God. Well, He's telling you how He's going to prepare you to be used of Him.
Right, exactly.
Amen. That's Do you really want to be used of God? Oh, preacher, I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God more than anything else in the world. Are you willing to suffer to be used of God?
Right. Amen.
That's the school God puts you through.
That's right.
Amen. Well, I'm going to go to Bible college. Go to Bible college, get all the Bible knowledge you can get. Then you got to go through God's school if He's going to use you.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of guys come out of these schools with great big degrees. God's not using them.
Yep.
Amen. It's not a Bible college that prepares you to be used of God. Amen. It's the school of suffering.
Yes,
hallelujah.
You're right.
And some of us may have not had the privilege or the ability to go to Bible college, but if we're saved by the grace of God and we're sincere about being used of God, all of us have went through God's school of suffering and we're still going through it because we've not graduated yet.
That's right. Yes.
You know what grade I'm in? I think in God's school of suffering, I think I'm in K-5. And I've been in K-5 for about 33 years. Hopefully I'll graduate to first grade one day. Now, some of you may be through high school or middle school or in college, or you may have your bachelor's or master's or doctor's. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be used of God and I'm going to be used of God, we have to go through the school of suffering for God to get us to where He can use us. Amen. So the Bible said, blessed be God who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Notice the balance there. Praise God. God knows. Remember when God said, you can be seated. I'll have you standing all night. I'm coming like Brother Sammy Allen, just don't know it. I mean, my Brother Sammy, I've stood, when I was a young man, I stood till my knees about ready to buckle.
Yeah.
Amen. He's had me praying. You know, he'd get up and start talking. And Brother Jeff, come down here and pray. Pray for the meeting. Pray for the meeting. I've prayed around the world 4 or 5 times in one of his meetings. Amen. I prayed for everybody I knew around the world. Started over again 3 or 4 times. And he'd come by and say, keep on praying, Brother Jeff. Keep on praying, Brother Jeff. That's where you learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost if you hadn't learned yet. Amen. Because you ran out of things to pray for pretty quick. And one of Brother Sammy's messages, hallelujah, Brother Sammy. I love Brother Sammy. He's played a big influence on my life. I appreciate how God's used him in my life to help me love God and want to serve God and live for God. Amen. Don't think I'm criticizing Brother Sammy. I'd never do that. I'm not worthy to shine his shoes. Amen. And I don't know too many other men that are either. Praise God. He's far more worthy of honor and glory than any of the rest of us I know. For what he's done for Christ and how he's wore his body out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for men who love Jesus more than they love their own health and their own body and their own comfort. Amen. Those men have made a great sacrifice. And now that they're up in years, they're paying the price for all the years of sacrifice they gave to help the souls of men.
You're right,
yes, sir. Talk about these Christians being martyred around the world. Brother, I know a lot of Christians that are martyrs. They just don't die instantly.
Yeah.
It's a gradual death.
Yeah.
It's the wear and tear of the ministry over the course of years, wearing their body down, creating all kind of health problems. A lot of these health problems that some of God's best choices saints have is because of the ministry, amen, and the pressure and the stress and the battles and all the sleepless nights and all the ways that the ministry and the pressure of it affects their body and their emotions and their mind and everything about them, amen. That's why there's all these breakdowns. But hallelujah for men who care more by the grace of God for somebody other than themselves. Praise God for that. Well, the Bible said, friends, the sufferings of Christ. Notice how when the sufferings come, so will the consolation also bound by Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah for that. What I was going to say is, God promised, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, and God will never put more upon any of us that we cannot bear.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah for that.
Amen.
So here's the verse number 6, and whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation. You know, when you come into church, you got two groups in church. Those that are saved and those that are lost.
Right.
And when those come in that are saved, you know what they need? They need consolation. I don't know a child of God trying to live for God that doesn't need a measure of consolation every time they come into the house of God. And every time a sinner comes to the house of God, you know what they need? They need salvation. Amen. They need the salvation of the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I got eternal life. I'm glad I got Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm glad I've got everlasting life. I'm glad I'll never die. I'll never burn in hell. I'll never burn in the lake of fire. All by the grace of God. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's grace that saved me. Grace that keeps me. Grace that's going to help me. Rejoice around the throne of grace throughout the ceaseless ages. That in the ages to come, I'm going to show forth the praises of Him who called me out of darkness by His grace. Hallelujah for the grace of God. But I'm telling you, my heart goes out for all these lost sinners that come into our churches every Sunday and every Wednesday night that don't have salvation.
Right. Amen.
And you know what they need? They need salvation. And you know what God lets us go through suffering for? To help those who need salvation get salvation, and those who need consolation to get the consolation they need.
Amen.
Praise God. You can't help somebody to salvation if you don't have it. And you can't help somebody with consolation if you don't know anything about what it means to be consoled by God.
There you go.
Amen. God works in us these things, consolation, salvation, so we can come to the house of God and turn around and share consolation and tell others about salvation that we know something about. When I talk about salvation, I know what I'm talking about because I'm saved. I don't have to have you tell me about what it's like to be saved. I know what it's like to be saved. Hallelujah. I've been enjoying what it's like to be saved for almost 36 years now. Praise God forevermore. It's wonderful to be saved. I don't know anything better than being saved. The only thing better than being saved is knowing, as Brother Billy Mitch said, for how long? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah forevermore.
Yes, sir.
I'm just glad I'm saved by the grace of God. Praise God, I got the kind brother, when God saved me, it's like with joy drawing waters out of the wells of salvation. I didn't know anything about old time praise, old time worship. I didn't know anything about that. But hallelujah, when God saved my soul, He put a new song in my heart, even praise unto God. And ever since I've been saved, there's been something inside of me that wants to show forth the praises of Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah for that. Yeah. Praise God. I got saved on a Sunday morning in a church that didn't know anything about worship and praising God. And I didn't know anything about worship and praising God. But God knew something about it. God saved me and moved into my heart. And that Sunday morning after the service, not during the service, after the service was over, Brother Mike, I went home, and it's a Sunday morning. And it was during football season. So every other Sunday morning when I'd go home, after I got lunch, I'd turn the TV on to watch a football game. Or I'd get with some of my buddies and we'd run around and do various things. I'm telling you, I got saved that Sunday morning. I come home, Brother Mike. I didn't go to the refrigerator. I didn't go to the living room. I didn't turn on the television. There was something inside of me. We lived out in the sticks, so-called. So I slipped out of the downstairs basement door, and I walked across the road into the woods, and I went about a mile and a half to 2 miles into the woods, and I found me an old tree, and I got down on that old tree, not even know what I was doing. There's something inside of me, the Spirit self-bear witness that I was a child of God, and I just wanted to talk to my Heavenly Father, cry, Abba, Father. And I began to get down on my knees, and I began to praise God the best I knew how. I didn't even realize what I had, amen. But I was praising God for what I thought I had, hallelujah. And I was praising God for the salvation of the Lord. I'd never done that before. I came back Sunday night, and the pastor's wife came up to me and said, Brother Jeff, would you consider helping us in the choir tonight? And before I knew it, there's something inside of me jumping up and down saying, yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. I want to do something for God. And I can't even sing. But I tell you what, I had a song in my heart put in there by the grace of God. I got up in that choir that night and we began to sing, there is a fountain filled with blood. And for the first time in my life, when the words of that song hit my heart, having just been saved and washed in the blood, big old tears started running down my cheeks. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, I was looking around. I thought everybody else would be crying too. Nobody else was crying but me. I thought, what in the world? Don't they know what God's done for us? Don't they know what we're singing about? What's going on here? I couldn't figure it out as a newborn babe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I don't understand these people. They need an atmosphere. They need cheerleaders to get them going for God. They need a rah-rah and a hoopla and a amen and a shout. I'm not against all that. But I'm going to tell you what, your shout shouldn't be based on somebody else's shout. And you shouldn't have to be stirred up by somebody else's stern amen. You ought to have salvation stirring you up for what God's done for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. See, it really don't matter where I start preaching from. I told my wife the other day, I said, it really bothered me. Because I prepare messages like you guys do. I make these outlines. I get these passages and try my best, you know, to outline them and go up there to preach them. And I said, I get up there and I just start off on a tangent. You know? I said, I don't know if God's doing anything through me or not. You know, I don't. I mean, but anyways, where was I? 2 Corinthians here. Well, let's get back here. So, you know, whether we be afflicted, verse number 6, it is for your consolation. Yeah, I was talking about consolation and salvation. You see what God's saying here? For your consolation and salvation. Amen. So the context is talking about God letting us go through all this suffering with His comfort. Amen. That we might be able to be used by God to help others.
Right.
Now let me say this about suffering. One of the things God wants to teach us in suffering is not to focus on yourself in your suffering.
Right.
Amen. And that's what we have a tendency to do. And that's why God lets us go through so much suffering, so we'll learn when we go through suffering, that doesn't stop our ministry.
Right.
Amen. That doesn't mean I've got all these problems. All I can do is just hole up in a corner and feel sorry for myself and focus on everything that's going wrong in my life. That's not what God's trying to teach us. What God's trying to teach us is get your eyes off self. Let God help you. And if God's helping you, He's not just helping you to get through your trials. God is helping you to get through your trials and go through your trials in victory so you can come into the house of God with the grace of God in your soul and the comfort of God strengthen you so you can stand up in the face of all your adversity and say to your brethren, I want you to know something. Our God's just as good and just as precious and just as lovely as He's ever been. Amen. I know that I've got this health problem. I know that my family's broken my heart. I know that I've been disappointed here and I've got sorrow here and I've got trouble over here. But I want you to know, amen, I'm not planning on quitting on God. I'm going to keep on serving God. I'm going to keep on living for God. God is worthy of everything I can give Him. Amen. God wants you to stand up and encourage others that are going through things themselves.
Amen.
Instead of coming to the house of God and just hang your head as if life's over. Oh, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, what's wrong with you, brother? I hate to say this, but it's the worst thing ever happened to me. My wife didn't have my supper ready tonight when I got home from work. I don't know what's happened to her. She used to love me more than that. Come home and I'm tired. I've been working all day. And sir, don't you have four kids? Yes. And aren't two of them sick? Yes. And aren't they, you know, a handful at that young age? Yes. Well, maybe she's a little wore out too.
There you go.
Maybe she just couldn't get to the pots and pans in the refrigerator tonight. Amen. But here's what he said. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation, salvation, which is effectual. Amen. You want to have an effect? Effect.
Right.
You want an effect?
Right.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Effectual. See, a lot of things people stand up and say, there's nothing behind it.
Right.
It's just like hollow.
Yep.
Sounds.
Yep.
Like a bunch of claiming. You know what I mean? But then some people can stand up. And what they say, it's got some weight behind it.
Right.
It's got some behind it.
Amen.
It's got some power behind it.
Yes.
It has an effect
right.
on the congregation. Amen.
Amen.
You know where that effect comes from? It comes from all that suffering that you go through, coupled with God's comfort and strength that affects you.
Amen.
Amen. If you're not being affected by God and His comfort, how are you going to affect someone else?
Right. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Is God affecting you?
Amen.
Have you risen above the ash heap of self-pity maybe? Where you've been by the comfort and the strength of Almighty God?
Amen.
Where you're able to come into the house of God with an attitude, God, it doesn't matter if I stay in this situation with all these circumstances. It doesn't matter if they get worse. I'm going to live my life for You and praise You. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
See,
whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. God said the suffering is for consolation, salvation, and the comfort's for consolation, salvation. Amen. Both of them help you to minister to others. And our hope of you is steadfast. You know what Paul said about these saints in Corinth? He said, I'm not shaky when it comes to what I think is going to happen to you guys.
Amen.
My hope is steadfast.
Amen.
I know you're going to make it. Now, you might not think you're going to make it. go through all that suffering, but you're going to make it. You know how Paul knew that? Because he made it.
Amen.
You know how he made it? He made it by the salvation and the comfort of Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what God wants you to learn? You're going to make it.
Right.
You know why he wants you to learn that? So you can look at your fellow believer and say, my hope of you is steadfast. You're going to make it too.
Amen.
And they're going to look at you like, you don't know what I'm going through. And you're going to look at them, oh yes I do. I've done been down that road.
Right.
Amen. And they're going to look at you. How do you know? I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't feel like I'm going to make it. I feel like I'm going under. I feel like I'm being overwhelmed. And they look at you and say, oh yes, you're going to make it. How do you know that? Because you made it. And you're made out of the same stuff they're made out of. And if God could help someone like you and me in our suffering and our trials and our adversity, if God with His comfort and strength can help us, He can help everybody else. Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Boy, us preachers, we need to take a lesson from Paul.
Yes, sir.
Because most of our crowd, we look at, we think, man, they just ain't going to make it. No. I wouldn't give it. His brother said, I wouldn't give a plug nickel for them.
Yeah.
His brother Mike said, I wouldn't give a plug nickel for them. They ain't going to make it.
Yep.
Come on now, be honest.
Yeah.
You wouldn't give a plug nickel for yourself at times.
Yes, sir.
That you was going to make it.
Yep.
Everything in you told you, it's over. You
was
telling God it's over. You was telling God, God, if you don't do this, I'm not going to be able to go on. How many times have you told God that?
Yeah.
Come on now, Bill. How many times have you told God something like that? God, if you don't do something right now, I'm not going to be able to whatever.
Yep. Right.
Boy, I bet God's getting nervous. Man, I didn't realize he was that close to quitting. I've got to change my plan. I can't afford to lose him. My work will go under if I lose that brother. As much as he's got to bring to the work of God. Come on. Even if God lost us, he ain't lost nothing in us. Amen. He doesn't sustain us because he needs us. He sustains us so we can learn how great he is. Amen. Praise God. He was great enough to save us. I think he's great enough to keep us going. Amen. What do you think? If God can save our old wretched soul like John Newton, I think He can keep old wretched man that I am still going.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I ain't even got to the message yet. Praise God for His Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, look at verse number 7. Our hope of you is steadfast. Amen. Knowing that as you are partakers, do you want to be a partaker?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Now, if we had a big spread after the service tonight, and those tables back there just filled with all kind of southern comfort food that we love, in the South.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say, my daddy was in the Air Force. I was raised. My daddy in the Air Force. We traveled all over the world. I've been all over the world before I got out of high school. There's nobody in the world that can cook like people in the South.
Amen.
Don't let
Amen.
Nobody kid you.
That's
and
right.
if you're from up north, somebody tell the people up north there's something called seasoning that you can put on food to make it taste better.
Amen.
Amen. That's not a big, big thing, but it's a little thing that'll make a big difference in the way that food tastes. Amen. And I'm not against food coming from the north if I'm up in the north, but I'm going to say they don't cook like we do down south. Hallelujah. Not only did I have a godly mother, but I had a godly mother who could cook with the best of them. Matter of fact, I've never found anybody I feel like. Is this on the internet? Honey, if you're listening, forgive me for this. Who could cook like my mother? Not even my wife. And my wife's a good cook.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And if you want to know why I'm so fat, that's because I come from a mother that could cook. I used to weigh a lot more. I got those tapeworms. But anyways, we'll go on from that. And our hope of you is steadfast. Hallelujah. But anyways, I say, if we fill those tables with food, I mean, there wouldn't be a person here who wouldn't want to partake of that. Oh, yeah, that's such a delight. But I'm going to tell you what we really need to be used of God's sufferings. We want to draw back from that. We don't want to partake.
Right.
You know what God wants us to do? And I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but it's not impossible. God wants us to get to a place where we understand, we reach a level of maturity where we understand where if this is what it takes to make me a more effective servant of God, I want to give myself to it.
There you go, bro.
I don't want to complain about it. I don't want to pout about it. I don't want to feel sorry because it's happening to me the way it is. But if this is what you're going to use in my life, God, as much as it hurts me, as much as it's pressing me out of measure, as much as it's a great burden that I feel like I cannot bear up under, as much as I feel like at times it's absolutely squashing the life out of me, God, if this is what it takes, I want to give myself to it.
Amen.
You say, nobody does that. Oh, yes, they do. There's a man by the name of Paul who wrote this epistle, did it.
Right.
Turn to 2 Corinthians 11 real quick. You know these verses. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Or 2 Corinthians 12. Look at what he said here. Verse number 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, I don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. I know one thing, it was a messenger of Satan that was delivering it.
That's right.
Amen. If you think the demons and devils don't bother you, if you're going to be used of God, you better get ready because they're going to bother you. And they're not going to let up.
Right.
They're going to buffet you. You will feel like at times somebody you're going to feel like mentally and emotionally that somebody's just beat you up.
Yep.
And they have demons.
Right.
Demons. I don't know how many times these men of God leave the pulpit, go home after a day of preaching, and all night the demons buffet them up one side and down the other. And when they get up in the morning, they can't hardly get out of bed.
Yep.
Amen. Not because of the physical abuse, but because of all the spiritual warfare that they have to deal with to serve God and stand for God and try to minister to people. I'm telling you, it costs to serve God. It costs to serve God. I want to serve God. So does everybody that's saved. But not everybody can serve God. You know who God's using? God's using everybody that's usable.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's a lot of people, by their own choice, make themselves unusable for God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. But anyways, let's read here. This messenger of Satan was sent to Paul to buffet him. And said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Somebody said, it's a lack of faith if you pray for something more than once. Come on, come on. Do these guys read their Bible? Guys that make statements like that, I want to stand up and say, do you ever read your Bible?
Right.
Or do you just get your messages off the internet?
Yep.
Amen. Or from some, book of anecdotes.
Yeah.
Just because it sounds good.
Yeah.
Amen. If you ever ask God more than once, it's a lack of faith. Because God, after you pray one time, God knows what you need, so why bother Him again with it? Well, He knows before you ask Him the first time what you needed. If you want to follow that argument, why ask Him at all? He knew. Amen. There's not a word in your tongue. There's not a thought comes in your mind. God said, lo, I know it all together before you even knew it. What's prayer got to do with what God knows? He knows it all. Amen. Hallelujah. And the God that knows everything we're going to say before we say it, He said, keep saying.
Amen.
Keep saying. Pray without ceasing. As the brother said, continue in prayer.
Amen.
But anyways, so he asked the Lord three times, this thorn in the flesh might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now here's where I fail. I'm talking about partaking of the sufferings, giving yourself to the sufferings. You say, nobody can do that. Paul did.
Yes, he did.
He says right here, most gladly, therefore. You know what he found out? He found out, God said, no, Paul, I'm not going to take it away. You need this. You need this so you'll be a more useful vessel for me.
Yep.
And when Paul realized that, it took him 3 times before he realized it. See, I'm not saying when you go through trouble and suffering and everything, there's nothing wrong with getting down on your knees and say, God, if it be in your will, take it away.
Right.
God, if it be in your will, help me with this thing. God, if it be in your will, do whatever you're asking God to do. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you keep praying, sometimes God makes it known that's not going to happen.
Right.
That's not going to happen. And whenever you realize that in your soul, look, that's why it's so hard to judge your ministry by somebody else's ministry. If you do that, you'll stay defeated all your life. Because when I look around at me, I look around and I see people, I see guys in the ministry, it just looks like on the surface from a distance that, you know, here in my life, at least in my mind, I've got all these troubles and all these, you know, things going on, and it just seems like they just go from victory to victory to victory to victory, and everything I'm experiencing, it's like it's going in the opposite direction. And the more I try to do, you know, better, the worse it seems to get. But see, what I have to do, I have to come back and get my eyes on God. And I have to get my eyes back in the Word of God. Amen. We don't walk by watching others. We walk by faith in what God said. But anyways, here's my point. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And then he said in verse number 10, I take pleasure in infirmities. Some of you got infirmities tonight. Can you say I take pleasure in it? I mean, some of you got serious health issues, I'm sure. There's some people sitting in this building tonight have got serious, debilitating health issues. And here I am this afternoon feeling a little sick in my stomach and a little congested in my chest. And so I call my wife tonight before I come to church and cry like a baby. Say, honey, pray for me. I'm feeling sickly. Poor, poor me. And here, some of you guys, I mean, you've got serious problems. I've got a little sniffle. I don't feel good. I you know, got a few aches and pains because of whatever. And here I am, you know, gee, I'm really suffering for Jesus, honey. I didn't know it was going to be so hard up here in Kentucky. But here's the point. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities.
Right.
I glory, and I want to throw this word in, distresses. Let me put it this way. Because, again, it helps me to read my Bible. Because when I was a young Christian, I thought if another Christian acted like they were what we would call stressed out, that was a sign of lack of faith or they're not spiritual. I've come to understand if you're a spiritual Christian, you're going to be stressed out quite a bit.
Yeah.
In the Bible, we call it being distressed.
Yeah.
In our society, we call it being stressed out. It's the same thing. You know what distresses you? You don't know what to do. Oh, you know to turn to the Lord, but you don't have the answer.
Right.
You don't have the answer. You can't figure it out. You don't know how to turn it around.
Right.
You don't know how to. I mean, take people that you're trying to help. How are you going to turn them around? How are you going to straighten them out? Try everything you know to try.
Right.
How are you going to do it? I don't have the answer. Only answer I got is in this Bible. Just keep preaching the Word of God. Just do what the Bible said. Keep preaching the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering.
Right.
You know what that means, long suffering? That means you're going to do it a long time with no results, but keep doing it.
Amen.
Let me translate that for you. Out of the Greek into the English. That means you're going to minister a long time with no results, but God said, It doesn't matter. I didn't put you in the ministry for results. I put you in the ministry because I want you to preach my word, whether it's in season, out of season, whether they're responding or going away from it. God said, your responsibility is just keep preaching. But here's me again. I don't know that I've ever gloried in my distresses. I've cried about it. I've complained about it. I've questioned God about them. But I don't know that I've ever gloried in them, Brother Ronnie. I don't know that I've ever gloried in them. I got a ways to go in the school of God. Amen. But he said, I glory in my distresses for Christ's sake. Because he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know why he's strong when he's weak? Because though we're weak, that doesn't mean God's weak.
Right.
You know, we're not careful. We like to impose what we are on God. Amen. Well, because I'm weak and I'm going under and I don't have the answer, we somehow feel like God's in the same shape we are. He's not in the same shape we are. He's not in the same. He's sitting on that throne. He's looking down. He's looking at the Son probably, and the Holy Spirit said, now look down there. Look at them. Look at them acting like we don't even exist. Acting like we can't help them. Can you believe that? We saved them in all these years. We delivered them and answered their prayers and provided for them and cared for them and protected them. All that we've done, and they still, every time something happens, look at how they respond.
Right.
Are they ever going to graduate? Some of us need a tutor.
Yep.
You know? We just don't need a regular class. We need a regular class plus a special tutor to help us. Hallelujah, we've got one. He's called the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah for the Holy Spirit. He guides us into all
truth.
Right.
That's right.
But here's the point. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He said most gladly. Look, he didn't say, I just want to glory in the infirmity. There's nobody's just glorying because they're sick. That's not what he's saying. Nobody's just glorying because they got all these problems that's driving them crazy, stressing them out. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if my infirmity, my sickness, my distresses, my persecutions, if it means that for me to have more of the power of God in my life so I can help others, then I'd rather have the sickness and the distresses and the persecutions with the power of God than to be free of all that and not have the power of God.
That's right. Amen. Absolutely.
That's what he's saying.
Yep.
That is what he's saying. Amen. So I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. When you and I get on our knees, just like we do many times in our church services, especially during revival, we're praying for the power of God. And what we got in our mind is like Elijah up on Mount Carmel, God going to send the fire down from heaven, going to whack us all. And we're going to have a jolt of power. All of us going to be able to stand up and do whatever. But when we pray for the power of God, you know what that means? God said, all right, let's get the distress going. Let's increase the persecution. We're going to touch their health here. Don't let them have some health problems, some health issues. See, all that stuff makes us understand how weak we are.
Right.
All that stuff, when all that stuff happens to us, and especially if it's all happening at the same time like it was to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
See, it'd be one thing if we just got it, you know, one at a time. But that's not the way God operates. A lot of times we think, God, how can you put more on my plate?
Right.
God, I mean, I've got all this going on and all this is happening. My health, I'm having problems with my health. I've got problems in the church. I've got problems in my family. How in the world can you just keep, God, God, do you understand? And all that, see, when you're young, let me say this, and this is not a condemnation. I'm not criticizing a young person. We were all like this. When we were young, starting out, and just got married, and had her health, and got our first good job, and we had the money coming in, and we had a good wife, and we had a good job, and everything was going well, we were saved and going to church and just praising God. You don't really think this consciously, but it's like it's happening anyways. It's almost like, you know, when you hear about trials and tribulation and you hear these older people get up and talk about all that stuff, you're sitting there thinking, yeah, God, yeah, I can handle that. I'll be able to handle that when it comes. Yeah. That won't shake me. I'll be all right. That's what you're kind of thinking in your mind.
Yep.
And then you start getting older.
Yep.
And then that stuff really starts showing up in your life. And you know what you find out? You find out what God's got to teach you. You cannot trust in yourself. You've got to trust in God.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. You've got to trust in God.
Yep.
Right?
Amen.
Our sufficiency is in God.
Amen.
So I say this, when you're praying for the power of God in your life, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you this is how God works to bring us to where we do have the power of God in our life. It comes through the school of suffering.
Yes, sir.
It comes through the school of suffering. That's why you can go to these Laodicean churches that are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And they got a lot of entertainment. They got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of ability to move people emotionally. But they don't have any substance there to help or affect the soul of men.
That's right.
Amen. You know why? Because it's all shallow. It's all surface.
Right.
It's all surface. There's no depth there.
Right.
Not only are they wrong and lost, most of them, there's no depth there.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. God's going to use you. He's going to hurt you deeply.
Amen.
Sir. Amen.
Yes.
God will hurt you. You say, oh, preacher, I don't like to hear that. Well, you shouldn't have come tonight. Because you heard it. It's in the book.
Yep.
It's in the Bible. Amen. Amen. See, the men that have really been an influence in your life, if you could look behind the scene,
yes,
you would see not what you would imagine their life has been like,
right,
but you would see something totally different. Amen.
Yes.
Sorrow. Depths of sorrow, depths of suffering, tribulation. I mean, God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. But hallelujah for His way. His way is the best way. See, there's a reason why He said when you go through the fire. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you.
Right.
As though some... Well, they didn't tell me in Bible class it was supposed to go like this. That's why you need, when you get out of Bible class, to get in God's class.
Amen.
Because there's a lot they don't tell you in Bible class that you need to know or you go crazy.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah for God's school.
Amen.
Come ahead, Brother Farrell.
Amen.
Let's all stand.